Book 4, Chapter 1, The White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 0845 hours, 2 September, 2005. Madam Secretary, Mr. Director, the uniformed Secret Service man at the door to the Northside Drive apologized. It'll be just a moment for your vehicles. They had come down from the presidential apartment before the Secret Service agent on duty there passed word to the uniformed Secret Service agent in charge of the motor pool downstairs that they were coming.
Not a problem, Natalie Cohen said. Thank you.
Castillo had learned the cars would be brought to the door following protocol. The Secretary of State was senior to the Director of National Intelligence. Her armored Cadillac limousine would arrive before Montvale's black Yukon XL Denali. And since I am at bottom of the protocol totem pole, mine will arrive last. If at all. The Secretary of State put her hand on Castillo's arm and led him outside, out of hearing of the Secret Service uniformed officer and, of course, DNI Montvale, who hurried to catch up.
Charlie, I'm going to do my best to talk him out of this, but I'm not sure I'll be able to.
Castillo nodded.
Do I have to ask you to try hard not to make waves?
No, ma'am.
Let me know what I can do to help.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Her limousine rolled up. A burly man, obviously an agent of the Bureau of Diplomatic Security, which protects the Secretary of State, got quickly out of the front seat and glanced around carefully as he opened the rear for Cohen. He saw Castillo and eyed him suspiciously. Castillo winked at him, which obviously displeased him.
Oh, for Christ's sake. What are the odds that somebody wanting to do her harm is going to walk out of the White House with her and the Director of National Intelligence?
Montvale's Denali rolled up. Castillo saw his coming up the drive. I'll call the 89th, Montvale said, and tell them that you'll be using my Gulfstream. The 89th Airlift Wing at Andrews Air Force Base provided the White House with its fleet of airplanes, including the two VC-25A Boeings that had the call sign of Air Force One when flying the president.
I thought you were kidding, Castillo said.
Not at all. Thanks just the same. I think it would be smarter if I used my own.
My God, aren't you tired?
Exhausted, but not a problem. I'll just set the autopilot and the alarm on my wristwatch, then I can sleep all the way to Chicago. It took a moment for Montvale to realize his chain was being pulled. When that showed on his face, Castillo said, I'd rather not have people asking, who's the guy in the presidential G4? But thanks anyway.
My God, Castillo, Montvale said,
and got in the rear seat of his vehicle. His Yukon rolled off, Castillo's rolled up, and Castillo got in the back seat.
Where to, sir? The driver asked.
Why don't you move this thing so it's not blocking the door while I find out, Castillo said, and reached for the telephone.
White House?
If you can guess who this is, can you ring my office?
Oh, you heard about the voice recognition, did you, Colonel?
God, ain't we clever. There was a chuckle, then Agnes's voice.
Colonel Castillo's line.
Good morning, Castillo said.
Ah, how did it go with the president?
Disastrously. Guess who's supposed to get that DEA agent back from the bad guys?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Is Tom there?
He's at your house, or at the Alexandria Police Department on the way to your house. He wanted to keep them from getting curious about all the sudden activity at the house.
Can you get him on the horn and ask him to meet me at the house?
Done.
Thank you. I'll bring you up to speed later, Agnes.
That would probably be a very good idea, boss.
The connection was broken. Home, James, Castillo regally ordered the driver, who smiled and shook his head as he put the Yukon into motion.
We have a Secret Service radio in here, Colonel, he said. I can probably get McGuire for you, if you want.
Thank you, but no. McGuire's likely to cause me trouble, but he's too smart to argue with Agnes.
Are you through, Colonel?
The White House operator asked. Can you get my house, please? A moment later, a male voice announced,
Colonel Castillo's line.
There was something about the less-than-vibrant timbre of the voice that gave Castillo pause, and then he understood.
Jesus, it didn't take them long to put Lester to work, did it?
Colonel Castillo, Lester.
Yes, sir, I know. There's a voice recognition system on this. Just as soon as you said, Colonel Castillo, your name popped up.
What do you think it would have done if I had said Clint Eastwood?
Sir, as efficient as this system seems to be, I think it would have reported Colonel Castillo.
Yeah, it probably would have. Is Major Miller around there?
Yes, sir. One moment, sir. I'll get him for you, sir.
A few seconds later, Miller came on the connection.
Yes, sir, Colonel, sir.
Dick, two things. First, keep everybody there.
Too late. Mrs. Doherty drove off with him right after you left.
Damn. He lives near here. I have a number. Want me to get him back?
No. If I need him, we can call.
Anybody else gone?
No, but the troops are getting a little restless.
Well, keep everybody there. I'm on my way.
Done. And?
And?
You said two things?
Oh, yeah. See if Lorimer has a uniform. If he does, put him in it. And I'm presuming you brought mine from the hotel?
Freshly run one last time through their very expensive dry-cleaning operation. If I were to infer that the trumpets have sounded, and that you and Pegleg are about to rush to the sound of musketry, would I be close?
A lot worse than that. I'll explain when I get there.
As the Yukon turned onto West Boulevard Drive, a red light-emitting diode, LED, on the telephone began to flash. Castillo looked at it, wondered what it was, and had just decided it meant he'd better pick up the phone when the driver said,
"I think you'd better pick up, Colonel. That's the White House calling."
Oh, boy. Another friendly offer of help from Montvale.
"Castillo, I just talked to that man in Chicago,"
the President of the United States said.
"Timmons' family will be expecting you."
"Mr. President, I'm on my way to pack my bag."
"Reassure the family, Charlie. That's the important thing. Make them understand the situation is under control. Get the mayor off my back."
In other words, lie through my teeth. The situation is anything but under control.
"I'll do my best, sir." "I've got a number for you to call. Got a pencil?"
Just a moment, please, sir.
He furiously patted his pockets until he felt a ballpoint pen, dug it out, and knocked the cap off.
"Ready, sir."
Charlie wrote the number the president gave him on the heel of his left hand.
"Got it, sir."
The president made him read it back.
"Right. Let me know how it goes, Charlie."
"Yes, sir."
"Good man."
The line went dead.
"I don't suppose you've got a piece of paper, do you?" Charlie asked the driver.
"There's a clipboard with a pad and a couple of ballpoints on a chain on the back of the other seat, Colonel."
Castillo looked. There was. "Shit," he muttered. He took the clipboard, wrote the number on the pad, tore the sheet off, and put it in his pocket. He then tried to erase the number from the heel of his hand with his handkerchief. He couldn't even smear it.
"Shit," he said again.